Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Bill Brandt, President and CEO of Development Specialists Incorporated. He's also very much involved in the world of politics. He is of the Democrat persuasion and involved in Illinois politics. He's an important chairman of the Bond Commission. Is that right, Bill? Did I say that right?
I'm chair of the Illinois Finance Commission.
Finance Commission. Okay, I had part of that.
One of the nation's largest bond issuing agencies.
I knew there was a bond in there somewhere. Okay, so that's pretty important there, folks. Bill, the
I'm not sure about that, but Mom likes the title.
Let's set the table for what's going on. The Democrats had an opportunity to pass a budget last year, and they didn't do it. The president delivered a budget in the late winter that was voted down 97-0 in the House, in the Senate. We've got a debt limit that's about to be hit that we can't get approval to go forward on. And so basically what we've got here is a government that hasn't done its job. It's not only mismanaged the money that we've already given them and poorly managed it and misspent it, but now when it comes to managing to try to solve these problems, they haven't done their job, and yet we still pay them, Bill. What's wrong with that picture?
No, the paying them part is the least of our problems. I think the problem that you described, I hear all the stuff about the budgets, but it's immaterial to me. The truth of the matter is the budget has been funded with a variety of supplemental expenditures over the years for the wars that don't even show up
I agree.
Yeah, there's a famous story that the Senate forced the Treasury about 15 years ago, when they got sick of the funny accounting, to issue a report annually actually listing where America is on a balance sheet, and that is with the accrued obligations, that the unfunded mandate, everything
right.
else. That comes out once a year, and it paints a far grimmer picture, as you would expect it would.
With all the deferred obligations.
Yeah, it rolls it really into the kind of balance sheet that most of us see in our businesses
right.
or our households.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I have, what do I owe, and what are the obligations I'm going to owe, even if they aren't current?
That's a scary report right now, isn't it?
Well, it's always been a scary report. When they first did it, it was done to sober people up, and at that point, I think now it's beyond sobering up. They want to go out and get drunk after they read
mm-hmm.
it. But the story is that they've all dodged a lot of responsibility on both sides of the aisle
yep.
here, and we put ourselves in hock to the overseas creditors. I don't want to tout the virtues of Clinton, but both the Democrats and the Republicans in the 90s seemed to, for reasons that are different, got their act together. And Clinton left office with a surplus. We have now fought two wars on the back of tax cuts, which, if you think about it, is simply counterintuitive,
mm-hmm.
and we're paying the price for it. And at some point, some adults in Washington have to get together and
well,
say,
and it,
how
it
do
must
we pay
be
for this?
It must be said that in Mr. Obama's 2.5 years, he's ramped that spending up and that debt up quite a bit himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, it began with Bush and the TARP program in the
right.
late 2007-08
mm-hmm.
period, and the truth, you know, what was Bush or any president going to do? You know, let us face a Great Depression. So I think intellectually most Americans understand why it was done. Some of it, I think, to be sure, if we had to do it over again, in hindsight, the concept of shovel ready applies more to using an instrument to clean out a stable than it does
right.
to create a job, I believe.
Right.
But we would have done it a little differently. But that's the problem we face. So the debt ceiling is probably the wrong vehicle for this. And what we are looking for, both of us, I think, in Washington as well as your listeners, is an adult moment. And they seem very few and far between.
So what are we going to do? What's going to happen in seven? Do you think they're going to get there? They're going to come up with some kind of a something they can all agree on between now and the next 7 days?
Let me give you a two-level answer. One, we have now dropped into the utter realm after last night's speeches of political theater. And in the realm of political theater, you and I both know the script is already written, but like always in the theater, the result is in the last act. So I would expect that on August 2nd, literally the deadline, as the markets, you know, begin to move, something will happen. Recall that during the TARP funding, I think it was, a couple of years ago, the Republicans in the Senate didn't do something, and the market dropped about 500 points, and the next day they went back and did something. I think we're going to have that kind of an episode where the market gives these guys a sobering aqua velva slap, if I can use a trademark phrase, and they get it. And that's how the the political theater is going to end. Will that solve any of America's near-term problems? No, because the answer is both in revenue and in cuts. And you cannot, you know, I speak as a workout guy. One of my maxims to everybody in the business community, and your listeners know this, you can't cut your way to profitability.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Right.
And our tax code is wildly imbalanced, and we have to do something about
it. But we also know that America, the U.S. government, doesn't have a revenue problem. It's got a spending problem. So we have to stop somewhere, Bill.
No, I'm not sure of that. You know, I tell people, my dad, God rest his soul, was a beach master, one of the most dangerous jobs you could have in the Navy. He brought the landing craft in when they were invading. He was first on the beach.
Yeah.
And he did that job at Tarawa, Saipan, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa. And after risking his life for this country, he came back to what was then, to make his fortune, an effective 50% tax rate on virtually all Americans, which is what it was before the Reagan era. Now, he couldn't have been happy about that, and he often told me he wasn't. But he reminded me in the end that generation left us the best education system in the world, an interstate system, an infrastructure. They left us the strongest country in the world. And our generation, I mean, I'm kind of astounded by it, messed this up. Now, I'm not saying we go back to a 50% rate, Jim, but somewhere between that and the lowest rates we've been paying since 1920.
All right, well, see, my plan is if I'm going to give you more money, show me that you're going to spend it more wisely than you have in the past.
I have no problem with that, but that's the classic chicken or the egg.
Yeah, I know.
We've got to break that mold. We've got to break that mold, Jim.
Ten Tails, stay with us. Right back with Bill Brandt. I am the one. Please,
ain't that what you said? Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.